you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles to Galatians chapter 4, beginning in verse 8, this is God's Word. "But in the past, since you didn't know God, you were enslaved to things that by nature are not God's. But now, since you know God, or rather have become known by God, how can you turn back again to the weak and worthless elements? Do you want to be enslaved to them all over again? You are observing special days, months, seasons, and years. I am fearful for you that perhaps my labor for you has been wasted. I beg you, brothers and sisters, become like me, for I also became like you. You have not wronged me. You know that previously I preached the gospel to you because of a weakness of the flesh. You did not despise or reject me, though my physical condition was a trial for you. On the contrary, you received me as an angel of God, as Christ Jesus himself. Where then is your blessing? For I testify to you that if possible, you would have torn out your eyes and given them to me. So then, have I become your enemy because I told you the truth? They court you eagerly, but not for good. They want to exclude you from me so that you would pursue them. But it is always good to be pursued in a good manner, and not just when I'm with you. My children, I am again suffering labor pains for you until Christ is formed in you. I would like to be with you right now and change my tone of voice because I don't know what to do about you. Tell me, you who want to be under the law, don't you hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by a slave and the other by a free woman. But the one by the slave was born as a result of the flesh, while the one by the free woman was born through promise. These things are being taken figuratively. For the women represent two covenants. One is from Mount Sinai and bears children into slavery. This is Hagar. Now, Hagar represents Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to the present Jerusalem, for she is in slavery with her children. But the Jerusalem above is free, and she is our mother. For it is written, 'Rejoice, childless woman, unable to give birth. Burst into song and shout, you who are not in labor, for the children of the desolate woman will be many, more numerous than those of the woman who has a husband.' Now you too, brothers and sisters, like Isaac, are children of promise. But just as then the child born as a result of the flesh persecuted the one born as a result of the Spirit, so also now. But what does the Scripture say? 'Drive out the slave and her son, for the son of the slave will never be a co-heir with the son of the free woman.' Therefore, brothers and sisters, we are not children of a slave, but of the free woman." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Paul is as we've said before, very concerned about these folks. He says that here in this passage. He's deeply troubled because he sees them making a huge mistake. What's the big deal? I mean, okay, you don't have to be circumcised. We all agree on that. But is it really a problem to be circumcised? I mean, is it really a problem if these people are a little legalistic? You know, I mean, they are being told that they need to do this. It's not true that they need to do this. But what's the harm? I mean, why is this such a big deal? Why does Paul say, I feel as if everything I've done for you could be a waste? I feel as if my labor might be in vain. Why does he say, this is tearing me up. I feel like I'm giving birth to you all over again. Why is this such a big deal? Because the mistake that they're making is not just circumcision. It is their understanding of the gospel. They are failing to hold on to the truth that salvation is what God accomplishes. It is not what we earn. It is not what we deserve. It is not what we accomplish with God. It is God's doing. God is the one who saves. That was the gospel that Paul had preached to them. That was the gospel that they had believed. And then a group comes down from Jerusalem and starts telling them, no, you don't really understand. Let us explain this more fully. Okay? Obviously, you've got part of the story. Jesus is very important. We don't want to minimize that. Certainly, he died on the cross. We know that. Yes, we believe he rose again from the dead. That is where our hope lies. However, if you're going to be justified in the eyes of God, there are a whole bunch of rules that you have to follow, and you don't even know about that. It's not just the circumcision thing, okay? That's like an initiation. But then beyond that, there are dates, festivals, Sabbaths. There are all these things that are so wonderful that came from God. And if you really want to be right with God, you got to follow the rules. Okay? These guys have all these rules, all these regulations, and they're saying, this is what it takes to get God to accept you. Now, that's not just an error. That's a lie. And it's from the pit of hell. And it's why we're told in Scripture, Paul says, if anybody preaches another gospel to you, even if it's an angel, even if it's me, he says, anybody who preaches another gospel to you, which is no gospel at all, let him be damned. Let him be anathema. Now, you know, we live in a more tolerant time, okay? We say, well, you know, they see things a little differently than we do. Paul says, no. It's not just seeing things differently. It is taking you away from the gospel. You need to understand this. This is crucial. This is essential. He goes so far as to say in this letter, if you accept circumcision, you are cut off from Christ. Not because circumcision is bad, but because the reason you're doing it is to try and earn your salvation. And anyone who tries to earn their salvation is not going to be saved that way. The only hope for any of us is Jesus. Matthew chapter 7, Jesus describes some people who are not going to be in heaven. They're not going to make it. Be on your guard against false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravaging wolves. Wow, okay. Verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name, drive out demons in your name, and do many miracles in your name? Then I will announce to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you lawbreakers. Okay. Well, now, wait a minute. I don't understand why you read us that passage, because it sounds like that Jesus is saying, if you're a lawbreaker, like you don't observe the Sabbaths and you don't observe the festivals and you don't keep your calendar right and you don't get circumcised, if you're a lawbreaker, if you don't observe the law, then you're not going to be welcomed in heaven. I mean, you can see why there might be some confusion, right? Do you notice how these people seek to be justified in the Lord's sight? Look at it again. Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name, drive out demons in your name, and do many miracles in your name? Didn't we do this? Didn't we do this? Didn't we do this? That was their hope. If that's your hope, guess what you are? A lawbreaker. Because none of us perfectly keeps the law. The only one who perfectly fulfilled the law of God was not the first Adam. It was the second Adam. Jesus, the second Adam, perfectly fulfilled the law of God. He came to do the Father's will. He always did what the Father told him to do. He said what the Father told him to say. He walked in perfect obedience to his Heavenly Father. And the law is fulfilled in him. Jesus said, you study the law. He said this to the religious leaders of his day. You study the law because you think that in it, in the scriptures, you have eternal life. He says, the scriptures are talking about me. All the scripture was pointing to him. He's what it's all about. He is the fulfillment of all of God's commands and all of God's promises. All of it is yes and amen in Christ Jesus.
You're listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference, and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit pastorwood.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is and he's holding out his hand.
So, Paul is writing to a group of people who are in danger because they're about to get sucked back into this bondage of thinking, I've got to keep the rules. Well, folks, if you think you've got to follow all the rules, you are trusting in the wrong thing. Well, so should we just not care at all about what God says in his word concerning how to live? I mean, I guess then murder, adultery, all that stuff is fine. No way. That is not fine. If you walk in the spirit, you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. He's going to say that in this letter. You just got to read the rest of the book, okay? In this letter to the Galatians, he says, don't use your liberty for an occasion of the flesh, but by love serve one another. If you're walking in the Spirit, you're not going to be doing all that gross stuff. But if your trust is in your obedience to the law, you have totally missed the message of the law, which is you messed up. The law shows us that we are all out of line. The law reveals God's holiness and our sinfulness and therefore causes us to recognize we need a Savior. Jesus is the Savior. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. So it's not that we don't want to please Him and do His will. It's that we realize the big thing God says He wants of us is to trust Jesus. Okay? What is the will of God? How do I do the... This is God's will for you. Believe in his Son, Jesus Christ. That's what the book says. That's what God tells us. The key issue is, do you really believe in Jesus? And do you believe that he is enough? More people than I can count have come to me over the years wanting to be sure that they're saved. I just want to be sure. I mean, Collie, I don't want to get to the end and find out I was wrong. All right? I understand that. Well, tell me about why you're concerned. Well, you know, I prayed to receive Jesus when I was younger, and I'm not sure I really fully understood what it was all about. And I'm not sure, I don't even remember exactly what I said, but I prayed a prayer, and I asked him to save me, and I'm thinking maybe I didn't understand enough and I didn't say the right thing. Okay, I got a question for you. Is that person trusting in Jesus or trusting in their understanding and saying the right thing? B. Yes. When Jesus saves you, you can picture it as sort of like someone coming along in a boat and pulling you up into the boat. And after you've been in the boat for a while, you start to realize, I'm not sure I did that right. Was I supposed to wave with both hands? Or was it okay that I just had one and I was going under for the third time? Okay? You see, we're not saved by what we do. Amen. We're saved by him. That's why he is called the Savior, not us. What we bring to the table is our need. He's the one who saves. And so Paul's telling the Galatians, please, nobody is going to be saved by keeping the law. We're saved by Jesus. Now, in order to make this argument in this particular section that we're looking at today, he appeals to three things. The first is, he gives them a reminder of past bondage, verses 8 through 11. He says, before you got saved, you were in bondage to things that by nature are not really God's. You were enslaved by stuff, by the things of this world, by the things that cannot save. Anyone who refuses to submit their life to God will end up submitted to things that are less than God. Okay? Maybe opioids, maybe sex, maybe money, maybe all kinds of things. I got to do this. I got to have that. No. No. When we taste Jesus, that's where satisfaction is. He says, in verses 8 through 11, you were formerly slaves to stuff that isn't God. Now that you've met God and you are his slaves, his servants, Paul described himself as a bond slave of Jesus Christ. He says, now that God is your master, do you really want to turn back to what you were enslaved by before? I mean, is that a plan? Do you understand that that's what you're doing if you stop trusting him? You're going to be back in bondage to stuff that isn't God. The second appeal that he makes is a reminder of personal connection, verses 12 through 20. Paul reminds them, the reason I came to preach to you all the first time is because I was ill. Okay? I had a physical illness, a physical weakness that caused me to have to spend time where you were. And that's how I ended up getting to know you and preaching to you. I thought Paul was someone who went around and laid hands on the sick and they recovered. He is. Paul prayed for people and they got healed. Amazing miracles happened. But I want you to understand, Paul here describes his thorn in the flesh. You read about the thorn in the flesh in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 6 through 10. He says it was a messenger from Satan to harass me, and I prayed, pleading with the Lord three times that he would take it away. But he said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. So we know Paul had a thorn in the flesh, and a lot of people just find it very difficult to accept the idea that it was a physical affliction, but if they would read this chapter in Galatians more carefully, they would see that it is an eye problem. Because Paul says, I had this physical problem, and you guys were so kind to me, if you could have, you would have ripped out your eyes and given them to me. Galatians 6:11, he says, look at what large letters I use as I write to you in my own handwriting. Okay? He puts his greeting at the end, but because of his eye problem, in order to see what he's doing, he's got to make big letters. He typically concluded his letters with a handwritten greeting. If you look at 2 Thessalonians 3:17, you see that Paul says that's how they can tell that it's really from him. Okay? He says, this is my handwriting. This is what it looks like. But to the Galatians, he says, you see, I'm having to use really big letters to do this. Okay? Why? Eye problem. Well, what's the problem with Paul having an eye problem? And why would you belabor the point, Pastor? Because there are people who refuse to accept the idea that God sometimes wills for someone to be ill. Will God's people be whole in heaven? Absolutely. But does God sometimes use illness for good in this life? Absolutely. And Paul is a classic example. And then in verses 21 through 31, Paul uses an allegory from Scripture. And I love the way he introduces it. He says, those of you who really want to get back into the law, do you not read the book? Do you not read the law? He says, the law tells you that that can't save. That that's not the fulfillment of God's plan. And he uses the illustration of Abraham, whose wife, Sarah, could not have children until God worked a miracle and gave her Isaac. But while they were waiting for God to do what God had promised, Sarah had hatched a plan. And that was, Abraham, you could take Hagar and have a child with her, and I'll claim it as mine, and that'll be a child for you. And after Ishmael was born, and Abraham really cared about Ishmael, God worked a miracle and gave the child of promise, which was Isaac. And they didn't get along. Ishmael saw the child of promise as a threat. And humanly speaking, he was. And so he persecuted the child of promise. And God intervened and said, send the slave woman and her child away. And Paul says, that's a picture of what's going on here. The born-again Christian is the result of God's supernatural, miraculous grace. The one who tries to keep the law is trying to fulfill God's promise through the works of the flesh. And he says, God says no. You can't have it both ways. You can't be trusting in Jesus and yourself. We're in Christ. That's our identity. That is our righteousness. That is our peace with God. It's in Christ. And so we come to Him and find a warm welcome.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number. 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.